Welcome back to Incremental, the Continuous Improvement Podcast. This is our practice edition where we talk about lean improvements made throughout the last 2 weeks and tie them back to lean principles. My name is Uriel Eisen of Austere Manufacturing.
And I am Devin Bodoni of Lycan Precision.
And you got a quote?
Improvement usually means doing something that we have never done before. From Shigeo Shingo.
What a guy.
Sounds so obvious once it's been said.
Yeah, which I think is the beauty of most of his writing, I feel like.
Yeah.
You're like, yep.
I'll just go do that now.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice because, like, I feel like people could use that reminder when you're kind of like, what if we did it this way? And they're like, well.
Yeah.
And it's like, right, of course.
Right.
Of course it's new.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Like, I think also, like, this kind of points away from the just, like, 2 second lean. Thing, you know, like, not to say that there's not a lot of value there, because I think there is a lot of value there, and not to say you can't do things new,
yeah,
in that framework, but, you know, like what you were talking about last episode with the press or the punch press
mm-hmm.
and the parts not coming out all the way, and
yeah,
like there was something very new there. Changing a framework of being like, you can use a machine and a person. Like, it doesn't have to be all one or all the other. Like, this is a new way of thinking.
Right.
In a way that people don't often do, and like completely changing sort of foundational thinking about stuff.
True.
And seems to be like, that was sort of his gift. And
it, yeah,
it's my sort of takeaway is like,
interesting.
Looking at a problem in a completely new way from how everyone else had done it up to that date.
Yeah, it also seemed like he was very good at throwing out preconceptions,
yeah,
of like what was possible or anything else.
Yeah.
And then just sort of diving in and trying to like really understand it and really think about it.
Right.
Pretty fundamental levels. Yeah, I mean, I could imagine that you'd be like, well, you can't have a machine, have a person next to the machine.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, so what you're saying is we need some like extra guarding on it, or like some laser beams so people can't reach into it, or if they do get caught in it, the machine stops. Like, not just like blanket, we don't put people next to machines.
Yeah.
I remember Toyota talking about, you know how like a lot of presses have like two hand triggers that to make sure your hands are out of the machine.
Yeah.
So they thought that was wasteful because you're essentially having a person press a button and waiting for the cycle to complete.
Yeah.
And so they made cells where the trigger to set off machine A was at machine B, which is out of reach of machine A.
Yeah.
And so it's like you walk over to machine B, hit the button, machine A fires. While it's firing, you're setting up machine B.
Yeah.
Then you walk back to machine A. It's done.
Yeah.
Kind of clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this. I feel like it's a good reminder also when things are like not going well or frustrating. It's like, yeah, you're doing something new. Like,
yeah,
of course. And yeah, you can't really improve without risk. I'm sure there's exceptions to that, but
yeah. I mean, I think there is a lot of improvement to be made without changing, with, you know, with just kind of like following the status quo and doing things that are
like a little better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or even quite a bit better when right. you're starting from scratch like us.
Right.
You know, I think like maybe I'm not
but
giving
there's
ourselves
a huge
due credit here, but like a lot of the big improvements made early on were not like seismic shifts in thinking.
I'm going to push back a little. The seismic shift in thinking, and I can remember it quite specifically, is realizing that it is worth taking the time. I think that's the side, right?
Sure.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to take like a lot of time away from doing the work to improve how we do the work.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you're right. There are examples, to be sure, where it's just like easy and not a risk. But I guess this quote more comes into play when that's not true.
Yeah.
And you can say it smartly to someone.
Yeah.
Well, on improvements, we've definitely, I've done a lot of work on the, Con Bunny mm-hmm. Arda system.
Sorry, where did the Arda name come from? Is it just a word?
I mean, basically sort of like card and order. We were like, I mean, we went naming and also naming things is hard.
Naming things is so hard.
And we wanted something ideally that was two syllables, so that you could say like, have you checked Arda or something like that?
Oh.
And like easy to say.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the main use case probably is like people on a shop floor.
Mm-hmm.
That was one. You know, there's a whole level of like SEO, like how available is the term, how searchable,
yep.
Is it available on social media, all mm-hmm. that stuff. So it checked a lot of boxes and yeah.
Yeah.
And didn't mean something super weird in a different language that I know of.
Right.
Write in if we're unaware.
It's got to be something.
We can undo it still, maybe. Yeah, but did a lot of work on that. I mean, I can just rattle them off. I feel like it's a long list. But on a different note, this is a funny one, actually. So on the belt slide, to rack the belt slide, we have two holes for racking.
Uh-huh.
You can't see them when it's assembled. And then two screw holes.
I know where this is going.
For quite a few, I'm trying to think how many we've made. Anyway, a lot. We rack in the racking holes and then take silicone plugs and plug the threaded holes. Yesterday, I was looking at it and it's annoying to use the plugs.
Yeah.
And they got covered in paint. So then you have to like break off the paint intermittently.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I wonder how much paint would go in the hole if I just racked it in the threaded hole. Because the wire should obstruct it.
Yeah, pretty well.
To some degree anyway. So I tried it. It seemingly has zero effect on the thread. So the big improvement is...
In a good way.
Yeah. It was just the screw went in fine. So, which is pretty awesome. And just a big win. I'm not counting it as a win quite yet. Like we've run two parts that way.
Uh-huh.
And neither of them had an issue. So now we're going to start racking that way with a pretty close eye on that feature.
Yeah.
And just see, like, maybe it's 10% reject rate, which would be too high. Maybe it's zero. Maybe it's like, anyway. So, yeah. So that's a fun one.
Those are great.
Very simple.
Well, look, we have these holes here.
Exactly. Now I'm kind of like, should we stop drilling those?
Uh-huh. Probably.
Save some time.
Yeah. So you don't need them.
Yeah. I mean, it technically lightens things up, but two eighth-inch holes that are like 3/16 deep, I guess I could calculate it right now, but it's not heavy.
It's not a lot. Yeah.
It's not a lot.
Nice. So we borrowed one of your QR scanners.
Oh yeah.
To test out a workflow. I didn't do any of this. My employee Aiden has been spearheading this. Figured out in Airtable how to get QR codes.
Very cool.
That go back to a record or, you know, item line. And got that whole system implemented for Kanban for tooling.
Very cool.
We're still in the process of filling out all the information in the database, which is...
a lift.
A real lift, yeah. It seems so easy in the moment to just build a tool with as little information as possible.
Right.
And I really do love low friction systems,
mm-hmm.
but man, it's biting us down the road.
Interesting. Right. Cause at the point where you are in a position to fill it out, you already have all the information there.
Yeah.
But now you've lost it. And so now you have to refind it and then copy it in.
Yeah.
Interesting. Can I ask, how are you doing the QR codes?
Let's see. We have a little plugin.
Okay.
That basically picks up the URL from the record
mm-hmm.
and then just converts it to a little QR code
oh, cool.
in a field. And then in the little document maker in Airtable, you can just pick up that field and it prints.
Gotcha. Yeah. Nice. Interesting. We've been trying to figure out redirecting them.
Uh-huh.
So that if you switch, it lets you like do revisions on the whole database.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could theoretically take like repoint it to a new database
so
without reprinting all the cards.
Static. Yeah.
If you listen to last episode, all the printing. Yeah. So basically every time we make a major update to the system, we technically have to reprint all of the Kanban cards right now.
Yeah.
Which I'm almost sure there's a solution. We just haven't figured it out quite yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't thought about it too much, but
we've almost had to do that a couple times. We have figured out. So right now we're taking all of this is just tooling. We're not doing this Kanban system for anything aside from tooling. So it's all being driven from the Fusion library. And we're having to do like a CSV export import into Airtable. But Airtable does have a cool feature where you can add without overwriting in an import. So
that's cool.
And also critical for moving forward because we're going to be constantly adding tools.
I see. So you can export a complete CSV, import it, but it's not going to wipe everything else.
Yeah.
Wow, how does it do that?
I have no idea.
Like, are you selecting what it should overwrite and whatnot? Or it's like clever about it somehow?
Not exactly.
Does it just look for matches and only write new information?
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been doing it again personally.
Gotcha. That's very cool.
Yeah. So we're trying to have everything drive from Fusion to that.
Mm-hmm.
One other kind of interesting little tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the QR scanner from you. You and I had talked a little bit about making it, you know, do the, what do they call it? Not the return, but
carriage return.
Carriage return.
Yeah.
Aiden did some research and he was like, I think we should try out this one. It's like $35 on Amazon. I was like, I don't know. Ariel said the cheap ones didn't work great.
Worked great.
And came with all of the stuff, all of the settings you want, like preloaded.
Nice.
So we didn't have to do any configuring. We just literally plugged it in. And
isn't that sort of coincidence though?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like sometimes you want it to tab, sometimes you want a carriage return.
When do you want it to? Well,
like,
with a QR code? If you're trying to do like you're entering.
It depends what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know
if we're going to have, I guess maybe.
So you got a $35 one that worked great.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's also it's wireless, but it uses a dongle. So you don't have to physically plug
convenient.
It in.
Yeah. Interesting.
And you don't have to Bluetooth it either.
What do you mean Bluetooth it? Like go configure it.
You don't have to connect it via Bluetooth.
It's like a Bluetooth mouse that plugs in and then it just works.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we'll probably get some more of those soon, but we wanted to test it out first.
Yeah. I might order some as well.
Yeah.
Very nice. Let's see. So some of the improvements, we cleaned up the UI for the, Kanban card interface. We had like 6 or 7 tabs down the left that were like all these different tools and tables and whatever else.
Uh-huh.
But kind of realized like focused in on sort of 3 main workflows. One is creating cards. So like where are you putting in the data and then printing the cards. And so it's sort of focused on that. The next one is placing orders. So once those get triggered, how are you placing orders? So that's another area of the doc. And then the last is like, we added a receiving workflow. Mm-hmm. So now every time you place an order, it creates an order record and then you can go through and tell it that you received it. And in that receiving workflow, you can email the supplier asking for an update. So like it counts up the days since you ordered it and then it'll tag ones that are taking too long.
Uh-huh.
And then you can email them and say like, hey, can I get an update? And it automatically generates that email mark it as received or mark it as received with a problem and then it'll automatically generate that email and like prompt you for photos, which is kind of cool. Right. And then you can set thresholds for the receiving workflow. So if you only want to track receiving on orders over like $50 or $500, you can set that. Because I was sort of worried that, I don't know, with all this, it's been very interesting. Like lean data management is no data management, right? Yeah. Like don't manage it if you don't have to. The second you're sort of like sitting there programming a thing, it's so easy to add like, oh, and then you'll know exactly when everything was received. And then I was just imagining, I was like laying there. I'm like, if you're not currently doing receiving and you kind of don't care to, then if at some point down the road you decide, okay, I'm going to go do receiving now, I feel like it would be a major deterrent if it was like, you open it up and it's all the orders from the last year of using the system. Uh-huh. And like, obviously we could just make a button that just clears all that. And it's like,
sure.
Consider it received. Done.
Sure.
But I suspect you'd sort of want to ease into it, right? Where it's like, so we have a toggle, like at checkout, you can toggle things like that you want to check on receiving.
Yeah.
But then also you can turn the default on to like above a certain dollar value.
I think it's also good just in this general sort of discussion.
Yeah.
To like come back to like not root cause analysis, but like root purpose analysis.
Totally.
And one thing that is so cool about Kanban, right, is like you have a stack of Kanban waiting for physical things.
Right.
And so it's like it's sort of already built in. It's yes. So easy to want to just like, yeah, just like data track.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think because I've been starting to think about receiving a bit more recently and kind of coming back to that like root purpose analysis, like why do we need receiving? We need receiving to make sure that things end up where they need to be.
Right.
So what do we need to do to make sure they end up where they need to be in the shop? And at least where I'm going right now is not to be poo-pooing.
It's a very good point.
what I'm thinking of right now is that I want to keep it as simple as possible to basically be like, here's a bunch of cards. That's all the things that were ordered.
Right.
There needs to be like a stop point at the entrance to the shop where things don't move beyond that without being reassociated with their physical cards.
Almost like everything travels with a Kanban.
Almost
nothing like, travels without a Kanban, I think is the phrasing.
Almost like that.
Yeah, we talked to a couple customers who really wanted a receiving workflow.
Uh-huh.
There are some, to your point, that is definitely the more efficient way of doing it. Like, who cares about the data? That said, if you do care about the data, then this is a nice way of doing it. Basically, you pick up the card, you scan it again. Like you have the item in your hand that you're receiving. You would find the card, scan it, and click received.
Yeah.
Obviously, the next step would be like scan as like that. Just scan it, right? And it tracks that it's received. So we're trying to figure out. It's a little above my pay grade at the moment. Yeah. We're trying to figure out. Like if you can, I'm sure you can. Trying to figure if anyone knows how to trigger a specific actions from a URL. I'm sure it's doable. We're just not quite there yet.
Yeah, there's this funny thing I find happening here, right? Where it's like I'm simultaneously finding myself in situations where I wish I would have kept things simpler in the past,
yep.
and other situations where I like really wished I would have done more in the past, like. I wished I would have done more data entry for our tooling in the past.
Right.
I also wish I would have kept my naming convention simpler in the past.
Yeah.
And like figuring out, I guess that's where like root cause analysis, root purpose analysis really comes into play, is figuring out what problems you're actually trying to solve and optimizing for that instead of sort of.
Right. Just doing what you have to do to take the next step, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in data entry for tools, it would be like, hey, do we ever want to reorder this again? In which case, do I want to have to go through my emails or go through whatever to figure out what this thing was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting, like the level of friction does not need to increase very far for it to like get neglected unless you really understand like the purpose and the value.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's why like systems thinking is like so hammered home in all that. Uh-huh. It's like if everyone is operating with the awareness of like the whole system, I think the actions of individuals will be quite a bit different.
Right.
Because you're not really being measured on an individual basis if you are messing up the system that everyone is sort of looking at.
Uh-huh.
I suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. We are... finally soft launching our new Airtable base.
No way.
This week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
By that, I mean, I had a meeting with my friend who's been designing it today and basically all the pieces are in play.
That's awesome.
I need to go through and add some like fields and stuff for specific things I want and create some documents.
So
like printouts, but it's basically ready to roll.
That's super cool. What are you fixing?
What are we fixing? Basically, having documentation of information be associated and sorted with the correct things effectively.
Is there a concrete example?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. So our current Airtable base is divided into jobs. It's got jobs, parts, and job processes.
Okay.
And job processes includes quoting, different operations, sawing, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And the job processes records are where basically all the really critical information for setups live.
Okay.
But they're not fundamentally associated with a part or a job.
Interesting.
And that is where things go awry. And if you do everything right, it's okay.
Okay.
And if anything in the system breaks, it can be a real pain to go back and figure out what was correct. So it's a little hard to explain for anybody who hasn't been in Airtable, but basically you'll have like, we'll have like a record that's the quote for a particular part in a particular job. And it's a job yeah. processes record. It's associated with that job. It's associated with the part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have a separate record that is like, say, for example, the sawing operation. Then you'll have a separate record that's op one and okay. a separate record that's op two. You can use views to group them so they appear to all be of a
yeah.
of a thing. But if that grouping breaks for any reason, it's all disassociated, more or less. You can go find it again.
Right.
But it's not like obvious. And then kind of more importantly, if we do that job, let's say we make part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
mm-hmm.
and then in 6 months again from now we make part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 again.
Yeah.
But it's a new job. And like the automation doesn't work properly to pull all of the information from the last time we made it.
Yeah.
All that information is effectively, it's not gone. We can go find it again, but it's a lot of sorting of like, okay, what was the date that we did last time? Go in, find that job, find its associated process. Anyway.
Interesting.
That's the issue.
Excuse me. So curious how the new one is structured to fix that.
So the new one is structured where we have jobs. And so basically any information that's associated with a purchase order.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the purchase order level.
Okay.
So that's that's customer information. That is a purchase order and a list of parts that need to be made mm-hmm. and their prices. Then within that we have work orders. Okay. So work orders are the specific details for each part within that purchase order.
Okay.
And basically only things that are associated with that instance of making that part are there. So okay. like that would be pricing information
mm-hmm.
For that part specifically.
Okay.
And then it's associated with a part. And then the part itself is the single point of truth for like all the manufacturing information for that part number.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you just rejiggered where the columns were so that the information was actually associated with the level.
Yeah.
Like with the right part of the job.
Yeah, basically.
Interesting. Yeah. That makes sense.
And so that we can carry things, we can carry what needs to be carried forward.
Right.
Without, yeah, messing
up. Like you can have a new price on the same part.
Yeah.
From a different PO. Yeah. But if the price is in the part file, then you sort of have to like create a new instance or something or edit the instance and then it messes up like looking backwards.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's one of those things where it's like the devil's in the details and
yeah,
you don't really
the relational
like,
database thing is so cool.
Yeah.
But it takes a little while to figure out like how to think it through.
Mm-hmm.
I found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So honestly, it's much simpler than the old version.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
Say it's also if I had integrated. More time, I'd write a shorter letter.
Yeah, exactly. It's also integrated to paperless parts. So getting Whoa. Away from a lot of manual data entry.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Because right now
Interesting.
Basically, we quote in paperless parts, and then I'm having to carry not too much, but
I would say too much.
A decent amount of info I'm having to manually re-enter.
That's too much. I mean, especially you can get it to talk to the other.
Yeah. So now, so now we're porting through not everything. At least with, we're using Zapier for all of the API talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my area of expertise. But apparently the way that, at least using Zapier, paperless parts is kind of a lot of, it's a big mucky mess. If you're trying to find some information in there.
Interesting.
Okay. And we've talked to a few other people who've also tried to do their own sort of integrations with it and been like, oh yeah, we had to do these crazy workarounds for a few little pieces of information.
Have you talked to paperless parts?
A little bit.
Huh.
Yeah. We haven't really like got into it yet. So, which is kind of annoying. The one thing that's not carrying over is stock size. So I'm going to have to continue to manually enter that. But most everything else that we want. And actually, one cool thing is paperless makes it really easy to export or to port over a thumbnail that just comes in as a JPEG.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
And so it's going to be like just a super easy slam dunk to start using thumbnail visual controls on our job order slips, because it's just like right there as a field in paperless.
That's
like
so cool.
Just comes up. I'm like,
that's
gonna,
a win.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. And I know you were thinking about integrating with Fusion. Have you figured?
We have not tackled that yet. We felt like that's something we want to do.
But not. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm guessing we will very soon, because we're just focused on everything else to do with the tool management right now. And sure. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And getting that working.
That makes sense.
But I'm sure once, it's probably going to be mostly me, and I'm probably going to be pretty annoyed.
Right.
Because I'm the one who orders new tools usually. And so I'll probably figure out how to do it. But not yet.
At some point.
Yeah.
Very cool. I have sort of a funny one that maybe doesn't belong on this list. AI price comparison. So in there you can click a button and it will do a price, it will look for better prices.
Yeah.
The only problem is it's very questionably useful. Uh-huh. So it does hallucinate sometimes. So like we actually gave a product demo today where I think we were experimenting with the tool, and uh-huh. then there's a button where you can replace the existing order information, like the link and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so we kept going to like walmart.com, but like, sorry, not found. Cause it just like, it knew it could be purchased at Walmart, but kind of made up that it was in fact purchasable at Walmart. So that was funny. I mean, we've refined it, and like AI is just getting better. So right. It does do some items really well. Uh-huh. It doesn't do like arcane stuff well uh-huh. at all. Right. Yeah. Like if it's like, I don't know, toilet I'm buying paper. I'm sure toilet paper, like all the links it sort of delivers, I would bet are going to be, well, anyway, much likelier to be a good link than like Grease for a brother CNC. And it's like, sure, yeah, Granger seems to sell industrial stuff, here's a Granger link.
Yeah.
To nothing. But it's pretty cool. But I'm not sure, I don't know that it's useful yet.
It is funny that AI can kind of like lie and hallucinate. It's yeah. like, I think someone would like to see this.
Yeah.
That looks like a URL to a reasonable website.
Yeah. URLs. Yeah. What is it? The structure. It's kind of interesting. It's like a URL for this type of item looks something like this uh-huh. or some. I don't. Yeah. I don't quite understand those.
That's funny. Speaking of, we did built out a basic workflow. By that, I mean, we discussed it and I think it's documented.
Okay.
For keeping our Airtable tool database, our physical tooling storage, and our Fusion library in sync.
Oh, cool.
Because it is going to be a bit of a soup sandwich until we get that automated. Yeah. And it's also like, as these things spiderweb, realizing that it has to also integrate with like ordering and receiving. Because almost always when we're adding a tool,
mm-hmm.
it's because we've just purchased it.
Okay.
And so it's going to be arriving and we need to get it into database, make a place for it in physical storage, and figure out how, when it shows up from UPS, somebody can figure out where to put it. And so it's kind
interesting. And then get programmed in Fusion, or is it normally already programmed because that's what instigated the purchase?
No, not necessarily. So that's okay. That's like a best practices thing where if you order a tool, you have to build.
I could see that getting away from you.
Yeah, it really could.
Interesting.
Doesn't have to be programmed into a part, but it has to be added to the library.
Right.
So.
Whoa, that's a real mind.
It definitely increases friction. So I think.
Right. That's such a good example of like, it seems like at an operations level, it's like kind of worse in every way.
Uh-huh.
And then at a systems level, it's like.
Oh, 100%.
Way better.
Yeah, definitely.
But we still exist on an operation by operation.
Yeah.
Like our life is a series of operations.
Yep.
Yep. I feel like it's easy to get lazy. That sounds like prime. Like once that's all working, I feel like you're going to really build up the deep desire to automate that pretty quick.
Yeah.
So I feel like it will get done then.
Yeah.
That's cool. So we, on the topic of simplifying things, the original Kanbunny or Arda dot cards, which doesn't work yet. Stay tuned. Kanbunny.com does work. So head over there if you want to make easy Kanbans or learn more about the system. So the first version was very, very complicated and was sort of like best practice for relational databases. So Kyle's whole thing is like the relational database side of things. Uh-huh. And like, he's good at thinking that through and has enough experience where he's like, no, this is how you should do it. And it's like, that is true from like an ultimate power perspective.
Uh-huh.
But it was things like, and it totally makes sense why he did it this way, but it just turned out to like the complexity relative to like, power up was not quite there. So like you're
this is a sweet Lamborghini, but actually we just drive on gravel roads at 20 miles an hour.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're kind of like, yeah.
How do you get into this car?
Yeah, it's hard. So you won't. So we had like suppliers, and then each supplier could look at a table that was contacts. So then at a supplier, you have a primary contact.
Uh-huh.
And then you might have a secondary contact and so on and so forth. Yeah. And then in our Kanban or order cards, we had the order card, which aggregated a supplier and a primary contact, and then also brought in a supply, right? Because like one item does not necessarily, it is separate from an order card, from a Kanban, right? Like theoretically, right? Realistically, we ended up just combining.
Wait, so what's separate?
So the supply. So say we have dish soap, right?
Yes.
Dish soap could be used, could be triggered from a number of different order cards or Kanban.
Yeah.
And so we treated that as being separate. But the workflow then to create an order card meant you had to go, which is sort of counterintuitive. You're like, I want an order card. If I click the add new order card button, then it's immediately like, okay, well, what item do you want to do? And you're like, oh, I haven't populated the item. And then you go to like, what supplier do you want? It's like, well, I haven't populated the supplier. So we condensed supplier and contacts into one. So now each supplier just has like a primary and secondary contact. But that just means that if you don't have one, it's still a valid complete package, kind of, to say like, McMaster is your supplier. I don't care if you have no primary contact at McMaster, because you just go to McMaster.com, right? And then we also consolidated supplies with the order cards or Kanban. So instead of having to reference a supply with an order card, you just make an order card with all the description of the supply. Like it's one and the same.
Yeah.
So that is.
So you could end up with three different
order cards for the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But doesn't really matter.
It doesn't. Yeah. You kind of made this point last time, I feel like, where it's like, okay, so you have duplicates, like, and then what? Like, so what? If you always order the right thing at the right time, what's the difference?
Well, not the right thing at the right time. It's like if you always order the thing on the card when you need the thing that's on the card,
you're good.
You get the thing that's on the card.
Yeah. Sounds obvious when you say it that way. So yeah, did that. We've started getting past the point of like all the settings are good for everyone, and like just seeing some variability with what people want to see, what people want to be able to do. Mm. And so we've built out more settings, so you can just go in and like, do you want to include taxable versus non-taxable in your order emails and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Added.
I have gotten some from you that are like both.
Wait, really?
Well, it'll be like whatever, 3/4 inch cam stock.
Yeah.
Taxable, true. 3/4 inch body stock.
Oh, interesting.
Taxable, not true.
That's so funny. So that would actually indicate that is a failure mode for having multiple cards, because that sounds like there's a double entry and one is marked taxable and one is not.
Well, no, it wasn't the same product, but they were like.
Oh, but they should have both been marked non-taxable. They should have been taxable.
Both the same.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. Gotcha. That's less alarming, but also, yeah.
Got a chuckle.
That's funny. Yeah, I feel like you've been on the receiving end of this whole system, so hopefully you see an upward trend.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, the early ones were pretty garbled, let's say. Yeah.
Garbled assumes that it was one time associated properly.
That's true. Well, yeah, it is. But yeah. Then the way we concatenate it can make it insane.
Right.
Now it's getting better. Added bulk printing. We're also trying to make it so you can click a button and get something in the mail. That would be like a nice Kanban card, which I feel like would be kind of sweet.
If someone doesn't want to print their own.
Yeah, or like you want something that's really like a plastic card or something like that. Huh. You could just like click, like order a bunch and then they'd show up.
Interesting.
I don't know what the price point would be where that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or
did I mention that I did some more research on the thermal label printers and they're not as versatile as I thought? Or thermal transfer printers.
What's the is it a color thing?
Yeah.
Because someone showed me a thermal transfer printer, and for each color you sort of had to like switch the cassette.
Yeah, I think okay. I realized that the
so it's like one or two or three colors kind of.
I think it can be like up to five, but they're kind of like primary colors. And I think the cards, like the ferry cards, mm-hmm. that we've seen and like bus passes and stuff,
they're all pre-printed.
They're pre-printed stock that they just then put the details on,
like the date or something in black.
Yeah, or like a barcode. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Interesting. That's that makes sense, but is a bummer.
It is a bummer. Yeah. Another printer, which I sent to you, which is slower, but can print like almost photo quality.
Wow.
But it's like a combination. It's not like an inkjet. It's like a combination thermal something else by Brother. I don't know. I don't know if it'll be a thing.
I'm realizing Costco prints a photo of you on the back of their card in the store.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what they're using. I don't think it's doing color.
Oh.
You know, I can tell you right now.
If it's doing color or not.
I think. So that's something. And then we added a bulk import feature for people with like a spreadsheet already of supplies.
Oh, cool.
So you can walk you through importing. And this is kind of cool. When we added order tracking, so if you put in your tracking number, it will pull in like it will live update from UPS, FedEx, and UPS like in transit, arriving today, out for delivery, that kind of thing. So that's kind of cool.
That is very cool.
That's that about it. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. Well, thanks. You're gonna give us the Costco.
Oh, here we go. I got it. Wow, that
not amazing.
No, that makes me think there is color. It's decent. I mean, that would be, it's maybe not the most beautiful photo of me, but that would totally work for a Kanban.
Oh yeah, there's color.
There's color, right?
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, trip to Costco?
Probably. For anybody who's not on that tip, you should go listen to the Acquired episode about Costco. Oh, yeah. It'll blow your mind.
Big time.
So good.
Make you feel bad about your business.
Oh yeah.
Or inspired, depending.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah. The other one I really liked was Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, that was wild.
That was super cool. LVMH, I was super intrigued, but maybe not for everyone.
I don't think I finished that one.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, it was such a different way of thinking about a market and a product and delivering value. And it was...
Yeah, actually, there was some really
pretty
cool stuff
juicy.
Yeah.
And like the value you are delivering is so counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. Like one of the questions in one of the books they referenced is, does your product have enough flaws in it? Mm. And it's basically that like if it has no flaws as a it diminishes its social signaling, because as someone looking at someone with a Ferrari, for example, if a Ferrari was just like an exceptional daily driver, mm-hmm. when someone pulls up with one, it's like less of a flex because you're like, oh, maybe
there's no sacrifice.
Like if you think about it, like, right, a double axle dump truck is actually like probably the same price as a Ferrari. Right. But when someone shows up in one, you're like, damn, that's like, that's a statement. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But yes,
it's not a statement because you're like, oh, they probably haul gravel. Right. Yeah. Like it delivers a function. And so it's funny because like the second you make it worse at the thing, it actually delivers on the thing it's actually for, which is telling everyone around you something, whatever that something is.
Yeah. So like wearing impractical clothes or.
Yeah. It's like A, I can. B, you know that I did not buy this for a reason.
Uh-huh.
Like seeing an astronaut in a spacesuit, you're not like, holy shit, you just spent like whatever. You know, $1 million on that outfit. You're just like, yeah, you're going to space. I mean, that is a flex too, in a different way though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Curious. Interesting.
Yeah. So with that, thanks all for listening.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can find the podcast at IncrementalCI on Instagram. You can find me at austere_manufacturing on Instagram and austeremfg.com on the internet and kanbunny.com if you're trying to make Kanban cards.
You can find me at Lycan_MFG on Instagram, LycanPrecision.com on the internet. We have a Patreon. Go patronize.
Please.
And we will talk to you soon.